You say, oh, you get a woman, you're going to get young? Sure, a lot of smell. Well, I'd rather smell perfume than liniment. They said, preacher, you can't do that. Said, them women's too young for you and you're at your age. Well, Boaz, Ruth didn't do bad. I guess Boaz is up in the 80s and Ruth was around about 40. She couldn't have been much older than that. God gave them a child and they went right on. So I better quit talking about that and preach to you a little bit. But we got to get acquainted, aren't we now? Yeah, I hope I won't be like the young man that preached his first sermon or so and got up and, boy, I mean, he exploded. He really laid it on. And he got through and he went walking down the steps and met the dear old lady there. And she said, well, hello, son. He said, hello, granny. He said, did you hear me try to preach a while ago? She said, I sure did, but you couldn't do it, could you? I hope it won't be that way with me. I sure hope it won't. I'll tell you one thing. I may not be the greatest preacher in the world, but I guarantee when you leave here, you'll remember some things I said. I guarantee that. I preached I went and visited an unsaved woman way up in the mountains here a while back. And I walked in and I introduced myself. I told her, I said, I'm a preacher like. He said, you that preacher that preaches on the radio? I said, I'm that preacher that tries to preach on the radio. He said, my. Said, your sermon sure got roots to him. Said, I heard you years ago and I still remember what you preached. And she told me. I preached on the gates of Zion. She said, you never did name one of them on it. What happened? I said, I didn't have time. I had to quit. But anyhow, I'm going to try to preach a little tonight. If I don't make it, I'll quit. And I'll let my assistant finish it up. I have him with me. That sonny hangs around pretty close. Takes care of me real good. Real good. Now, tonight, I'm going to preach a message. I don't know whether it was the night after before. I was down in Camp Zion. There's about, a couple thousand people there. I got to preach it. They had a flag for every state represented. There was 21 all around me. Up real high. Had big old knobs on about that big. Either one could have busted my head. And I got to preaching, and I preached then. I was preaching on demonology. And a missionary just got back from the field, and I was telling about these things that you all superstitious old, like black cats, rabbit's feet, and horseshoes for good luck, all that bunch of junk. And I was relating to them, and I got to the fetishes that some of them carry over in these heathen countries. And when I did, this missionary sitting on the piano bench with the piano player pulled a fetish. He just come back. He said, here's one of them now. And he threw it through the flagpole. He didn't touch a flagpole, didn't touch nothing. And I caught it. But somehow I just felt led to step back. I'm sure glad I felt led to. I stepped back about 3 steps. And every one of them, as some of you here tonight was there, every one of them flagpoles fell at one time. Nothing touched them. They come down and hit me in the head. Brother Percy Ray run up on the platform and got me around the neck, said, are you hurt? I said, nope. And he said, well, this is a sign that the nations are going down. I said, well, praise God for it. He saved the remnant. Ain't a hair on my head touched. I'm all right. So I preached. Then I preached a sermon down there about that time. I'm going to use the same subject that I use, but God only knows what I'm going to say. I don't. I thought the rapture done took place. I was over in the room and nobody'd come and got me. John, Brother John here, come and put me out there and left him and Linda. I didn't see him all day long. I've eaten hamburgers till bless God when I get home. I'm going to get something inside a hamburger, ain't you, son? Hamburger, 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 hamburger. But anyhow, about time the services started, I looked and said it started about 6 o'clock and it's already 10 after 6. I said, I'll tell you what I believe happened, sonny. I believe the rapture done occurred. The men you left here go through the tribulation period. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's happened. All right, and if you have a Bible, want to mark a scripture, that'll be about all you'll have time to do. In the Bible, in Ezekiel, chapter 34, and then in Jeremiah, chapter 3. verse 34, verse 26. Now, I'm not going to do a lot of reading because I know you read your Bible. If you'll do your market reading, you get home. I'm going to preach while I'm up here. I'm not going to pick up all my time. I've heard preachers preach. They didn't preach no sermon. They read the Bible for about 30 minutes. I love the Bible. I've read it for the last 50-some years and keeping on writing. But when a man gets up to preach, I think he'll preach a little bit, you know, not just depend on reading the Bible. So, all right, just fix it the way you want to. When I get the thunder and real loud, you want to put it back down. Okay. Now, he's talking about his people here, how he would bless them, how he wanted to bless them. And I believe that's true tonight. God wants to bless his people now, but we just won't let him do it. And I'm going to try to find out some of the reasons he don't do it. But right now in this verse 26 of Ezekiel chapter 35, and I will make them the places around about my heel a blessing. Now, we know what he's talking about here, but it has a principal meaning to us now. And he said, I will cause the showers to come down in this season, and there shall be showers of blessing. And now something's happened to them showers. And over in Jeremiah, it says in verse 3, chapter 3, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a hoarse forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Now, what I'm going to say now is this. It's quit raining on us. The blessings are not here like they have been and could be. And so tonight I have a subject I want to use, and I'm going to speak tonight a little while on it. Ain't going to rain no more. Now you say, that's not correct English. That's what you think. You never went to the school I did. I said, ain't going to rain no more. Whether you believe it or not, I've been to school. I went to one college while they didn't have no credits, went through the cotton picking thing. Then when they got credits, I went back and got four or five other degrees. And you know what? It's like the curl on the end of a pig's tail. Didn't add nothing to the pig. I said, preach right on just like it is. Amen. So you see, I'm going to preach tonight on it. Ain't going to rain not no more. Somebody said, say no more. I ain't going to do it. It ain't going to rain no more. Now, because some of it ain't living right, and them showers of blessing has been withheld. And it ain't going to rain at your place no more. You try to fake out it, make out like it, but down in your heart, you know you're not happy with it. You know you're not satisfied with it. Now, back in years gone by, and I won't talk a lot about that, but when this song come out, this was a song down in South Carolina around the country, first came out with a song called Goodnight Irene. Yeah, some of you older ones, around 80, you remember that, I reckon. And then, then they come out with another one. It's called Yes, Sir, She's My Baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, she's my baby now. Well, they run that around a while, and then they come out with another. Yes, we have no bananas for you. You heard that. Some of you have on the old records, haven't you? All of you ain't just real young people. You remember. Yes, we have no bananas. And then they come out with this one. It had been a long, dry season down there. It hadn't been no like it was just gone past. It just didn't rain. And they made up the song, started singing it around. It ain't going to rain no more. Mr. Mosquito, he fly high. And then Mr. Mosquito, he fly low. But if Mr. Mosquito lights on me, he ain't going to fly no more. Ain't going to rain no more, see? Ain't going to rain no more. And I preached down there at Camp Zion on it ain't going to rain no more. And come out, and some stupid idiot walked up and said, is this pouring down rain? Said, I thought you preached said it wasn't going to rain no more. I said, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual blessing, just like the Bible said. That's the kind I'm talking about, and that's the kind I want to talk about tonight. It ain't going to rain no more. He's withheld these showers of blessing. Now the question comes up, why ain't it going to rain no more? All right, one thing is, people won't confess their sins. That's right. They just don't confess their sins. There's no remorse there. I know what you all do. You do like all these other camp meetings I go into. Somebody asked me one day, said, you talk about camp meetings? You talk about revival? You talk about pastor? I said, this what do you do? I said, well, I pastor a church. We did run about 1,000. We fell back in this bad weather last winter. I said, I'm principal of a Christian day school, have been for 18 years. And then I said, I teach in my Bible Institute, and I hold about 2 revivals every month, and I did. About every other week I was in revival. And I pastor my church. I've got radio programs, and I've averaged about 2 revivals a month. And the rest of the time, then we've got a camp I look after there, care after it. And then the rest of the time, I just lay around and take it easy. So, brother, if I hadn't been a good, close friend of this brother Eastip, he won my heart, I might not have been up here, but I'm glad to come now. I'm glad I'm here. Sure glad I'm glad I got to come the other time. But the trouble is, people won't confess their sin. Now, I go to these revivals and camp meetings and conferences and everything. You know what happened? I can get them down the altar. I can give me a little old tricky invitation. Give an invitation. Here they are, swarm right down at it. And then, bless God, before the last one gets down there to get on his knees, the first one then gone, got his one out and gone back. Right. Now, you tell me you confess no sin like that. You're on a hypocrite on top of everything else. We need to lay before God and get these sins out of the way. And confess them. Be honest about it. Then people don't pray in earnest. Just like I said a while ago, they don't pray in earnest. The Bible said, ask, you'll find. Seek, and then knock. 3 things there. And you stop with asking. You just ask it, and you don't get it. Well, I done asked the Lord. And he said, seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it shall be open to it. Do you ever get down to this knocking business? You get in some of the jams I've been in, when you're in one bed of dying, your wife's in another of dying, you'll learn what it is to seek the Lord, ask, seek, and knock. Man, I got to knocking, you see, and that's what we don't do. I know, you say, well, I've heard that before. Well, why in the world don't you do something about it then, if you've heard it before? That's one of your cussed sins. You've heard so much till you don't do nothing. Let go in one ear, then out the other one, and while Billy Sunday used to be going down the street, and he'd have Sankey with him, and he'd say, watch me, don't let me bump into a telephone pole or nothing. I got to pray. And he'd light into praying. Then there was old Charles Finney. He'd come in his buggy, and his wife would wait for him to come in, and he wouldn't come in, so she'd go out and look for him. Go out in the barn, maybe up in the loft behind a hay bale. He'd be up there praying and weeping before God. They said that David Brainerd used to crawl up in the hollow log, lay there all night, weep and pray before God. How long's it been since you done any praying like that? You ain't never done none like that, have you? Be honest with me now. Just be honest about it. They said, I forget now the name evangelist, he prayed so hard and so long. You read his books, that he made his heart move from one side to the other, just calling on God. But they got the work done. You ain't getting nothing done. You see what I mean? Most of us, we ain't doing anything for the Lord. We just don't do it. And so we let sin get in our life. We won't confess it and forsake it. We nod our head and go out and do it again. That ain't getting right with God. He said, confess it and leave it. Get away from it. He said, if you cover your sins, you'll never prosper. If you confess them and forsake them, you'll have mercy. So forsake your sin when you confess it. I don't see why I'd have to confess smoking every service. Huh? I'd be like the man had a wifeless bad woman, and she's always having a man out to her house, and so he got tired of it. So one day he just went out there and shot his wife, and they said, man, what'd you do? He said, you should have shot the man. He said, no, she'd have found another man. Said, I shot her and got the basic cause. There won't be no more of it. I just knocked it out. Well, that's pretty good sense, isn't it? All right, then. It sure is. Pretty good sense. Ain't going to rain no more. A lot of people too lazy to work. You don't know what work is. Somebody always tell me, take a vacation. I've been preaching longer than most of you have been born. You know how many vacations I've took? About 3. And I wound up in 2 of them holding revival. I went up my home church down in High Point, walked into church on my vacation, me and my wife, and the man there hadn't seen me. And I don't know when he got and said, well, just thought I'd tell everybody we're starting a revival, Brother Carl's here, and he's going to preach for us. How are you going to turn down things like that? You can't do it. God, I've heard people say, pray for me to get some open doors. Lord, when I got right with God and got saved, God just kicked both doors open and said, there they are, let them have it. I've been letting them have it ever since. Yes, sir. He gave me plenty to do. I know I preached my first sermon 2 weeks after I was saved. When I preached, the man got back there and he said, I told him, he come to me and said, I want you to speak next Wednesday night. I said, man, I've been running beer parlors and pool rooms. I don't know nothing about preaching. I don't even know John 3. He said, that's right, your life will speak. You just get up and tell them what God done for you. And I said, I'll be glad to do it. So I tried to hatch him up a sermon. And I went over to Revelation and showed them where everybody didn't just keep on doing right after they got saved, would they get lost again and go to hell. I done some good preaching, but just it wasn't so. That was all. Good preaching. Had a good text there. I said, I know how y'all getting along, but I know how you're living. And I said, what you going to do? You're going to mess around here and get lost again, and you're going to hell. That's where you're going. Well, you laugh about it, but I know about half the country today that think that's the doctrine we were supposed to believe. Isn't that about right? But you know, the first thing I learned after I got saved, I'm so glad, I got saved and found out I couldn't get lost.
Yeah.
I cuss all I want to. I drink all liquor I want to. That's right, I do. I just don't want to no more. So sometime I want to. Sonny, he looked after me when I was in the hospital. My wife was dying upstairs, and I was dying downstairs, and I was out of my head, they said. I ain't so sure it was, because I was mad at some of them nurses anyhow. And he said I lit into cussing. I hadn't forgot how. It was still there. You can't tell me you can run a pool room and a beer parlor and a gambling joint and not know how to cuss. I knew how to cuss. Oh, Lord had to put a restrainer on that thing. That's all it is. And if I ain't careful, it'll break that restrainer and come out now. So don't push me. Don't put me against the wall. Right now. So there you are. So it ain't going to rain no more. Why? We won't confess our sins honestly and truly and forsake them. Some of you tonight, you could get your husband saved. You'd get right with God and really get right. I told a woman the other day about her own daughter. I said, woman, if you'd really get right with God and get a burden for your daughter and stick in there, your daughter would get saved. She took me at my word, and about 2 weeks from then, her daughter come down out, no preaching, no nothing, come down and said, I want y'all to tell me how to get saved.
Amen.
That's what works, see. Yeah. But the trouble, these people know too much going on at home.
Yeah.
I got a man in my church now, I mean a woman, and their own children said the other day, said, my mama ain't saved. Said, she's a hypocrite. The other kid, the girl, said, my mama's not right with God. Said, she cusses like a sailor. She'll tell a lie at the drop of the hat. Well, you can't blame them from feeling like they're not saved. Now, all you got to do if you want to have a revival at your house and you want to come another shower of rain of God's blessing, confess your sins and forsake them. Just get rid of them. That's the way to do it. And these besetting sins, and get the burden that you ought to have for your loved ones, and you'll see revival come to your place. It'll come to your place. Now, I'm going to talk about one sin a few minutes here, and we need to preach. Some of you preachers say, well, I heard a preacher say not long ago, well, they told me that's what he said. He said, well, I don't preach against sin no more. He said, I just hold up Jesus. Well, I got news for you. God don't want you to hold him up.
Yeah.
You better read your Bible. He said, cry out aloud against the sins. And I tell you one, you all failing on, you little jackleg preachers around. You want everybody to love you and open another door for revival. That's God, you just preach. God will open the doors for you. He'll do that.
Yeah.
And brother, people are saying today, well, I'd love for God to bless me. And I'll go out and at the same time, I'll see him. I saw a fellow the other day wanting to see his wife get saved. Come on, say, would you pray for my wife? And there I found out last week he is a smoking, and his wife, and he was wearing shorts. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? Don't you know that yet, you stupid idiot? Don't you know that that's number one sin in the sight of God Almighty? Listen, friend, you listen to me. The sin of nakedness. You need to know a little bit what the Bible says about it, give you some light on it. And then if you want to keep on being a presumptuous sinner and keeping your prayers hindered and letting everybody look at you, say, there goes a hypocrite, that's your business. I was in the barber shop the other day, Brother Sonny was with me. Some fella come in, and I never seen anybody dress any scanner than he did. Man, he just didn't have nothing on, pretended to, and come in to get his hair cut. Well, I'd already gotten the barber's chair, and he said, if that fella gets in my chair, I'm going to tell him to go home, put on some clothes, and I'll cut his hair. That's pretty good, wasn't it? That's what I go up and down your streets here, and I look around, and you see me like you want to give them just as far up as you can. Show everything you can. I'll tell you right now, if I didn't have no more to show in some of you men, bless God, I'd keep it covered up if I could. Amen, amen, amen,
amen.
That's right. You see, this sin of nakedness is more serious than people think it is. Did you ever think about the case of Adam and Eve? You know what got them in trouble? It was their nakedness. When the Lord come down through the garden, said, where are you, Adam? He said, we hid ourselves. He said, what'd you hide yourself for? He said, we were naked. They knew they were naked, see. He said, who told you were naked? He knew why they were naked. They'd eat of that forbidden fruit, and God opened their eyes, and they saw they were naked. And then old Adam, he wanted to fix it up, so he took some leaves, plural, leaves, not leaf, and made apron. Don't you remember reading that in the Bible? It's in the first chapter of Genesis.
Yes, sir.
It's right there. It is. Right there. It is. And he put that thing in there, and he put on them leaves. And I want to remind you, he didn't say leaf. He said leaves. Leaf. And then the Lord come, he wasn't satisfied with that. Was he?
No, no.
Well, why don't you quit getting out in the yard and making out like you're mowing grass and trying to show your ugly self? Put you on some clothes so nobody won't think you're a demoniac or something. Let me tell you something. Did you know that the sin of nakedness has brought the curse on nearly every generation? I'm going to show it to you. Adam and Eve, what brought their curse? They were naked. And it did. And that's not all. Brother, there was the case of Noah, chapter 9 in Genesis, after the flood. Noah got drunk. And you know what he done? He was found in the tent with no clothes on. And his son looked at him. God didn't like that. And to show you how ashamed they were of their nakedness, the two other boys got some robes and backed up, went backwards and covered their daddy up so he couldn't be the same. Now that's what God thinks about your sin and your ungodly dressing that you're doing. And I thought it was bad in Mount Airy, but I found one place a little worse, over in Xenius, Ohio.
Yeah.
I never seen such stinking nakedness in all my life. You don't like that, do you?
That's right.
Well, just hang around, you hear some more you don't like. I'll feel your gourd full tonight, bless God. That's what's the matter with your prayers not getting answered. That's why you have to fake it. What you do, you're not really getting the job done. God hates nakedness. He hates it. That was the case of Aaron and the Israelites in Exodus 32. Moses went up on Mount Sinai, had Joshua with him, and they got up there. God was giving the commandments, and Joshua said, listen, do you hear that? Moses said, what? He said, sounds like they're fighting down there. Sound like they're in war. Moses said, don't sound that way to me. Sound to me like they're having a shindig down there. That's right. And they come down off the mountain. And when they got down off the mountain, he said, sounds like singing and merrymaking to me. Aaron had made a golden cave. Tried to justify the people. Said he thought y'all had been gone so long. Impatience. Well, if I'd been impatient, I'd have called somebody out and cussed them today, leave me in that room by myself all day long. I wasn't completely by myself. I had Sonny with me. He's impatient as I was. I eat up 4 bowls of fruit they had over there and satisfied a little bit. I appreciate that fruit. It wasn't but one dish, but it sure was good. And if you ever want a good hamburger made, get Linda to come up here and make it. She can not only sing, honey, she can make hamburgers. I mean, she could make sure enough hamburgers. And I like it. And so Aaron made a golden calf. He tried to justify the people while they were down there naked a-dancing. Carrying on. Haven't you read that in your Bible?
Sure.
Maybe you've got a New King James. Maybe you've got an NIV. Maybe you've got some other trash can around your house. There's not but one Bible. I'll say it everywhere I go, the King James. It got my grandma saved, and she's thrived on it real good. It got my mother saved, and she thrived on it pretty good. He got my daddy saved, and he done that well on it. And I come along, and I got saved with it, so it'll do for me. It'll do. You keep your trash, and I just keep my old King James Bible. He said, preacher, aren't you afraid you'll offend someone? No, I'm afraid I won't offend someone. If I can get you mad, you might do something. He said, I'll whip you. Well, you couldn't have nothing to brag about if you whip an old man here, dragging around here with a broke back for 20-some years. You wouldn't have a lot to brag on. Besides, I have some friends around. I do. I've traveled around. I got friends all over the world. I've been around the world. My church, Brother Green's church, sent us around the world. I preached in every country. And we've been over to Holy Land. I don't know how many times. I was over preaching. Brother Perkle helping to make that Burning Hell film. I played the part of Abraham, wasn't that what it was? And I went over there with him, and he said, preacher, I want you to preach Sunday morning down there at the fence goes around. I said, I'll be glad to do it, preaching where you want me to. And I went down there, and I used a monument for my pulpit. And I didn't know it then, it make no difference, I preached anyhow, but I found out that who is them people over at Muslims? Yeah, that they own that. And I thought I was a drawing a crowd. I thought, man, I'm doing some good. They was coming in from here, coming in from there. The guy slipped over to Perkle and said, you know what them fellas is doing? I said, he said, no. He said, they're fixing to kill that man. And so he said, can you get him down on, I forget the other place where Pilate done something, that belongs to the Catholic. They're mean as a devil, but they wasn't quite that mean. They wasn't trying to kill me. And I got up there and used that pulpit, monument for my, you say, what did you preach? Preach just like I'm going to preach you tonight. Preach the Word of God. I told them, forget to say, they're going to hell just like everybody else. But that's fixing to fix me up real good. As I said, I preached all around the country. But I want to tell you right now, the sin that's damning us, you preachers don't say nothing about it. You get up and say, well, now, you need to rest. All right, I'm not going to just fight sin. I don't know why you don't, you yellow cow, chicken liver thing. It's what God told you to do. He said, get out there and fight it like a snake, amen. You say, you'll get killed. I haven't got killed yet. Man, I intend to preach on till I'm 115. And when I do, I'm going to fight the devil. I'm going to chew him to wear my teeth out. And then I'm going to gum him till I die. Just ain't going to quit. Just ain't going to quit. So you see, Noah gets drunk. What happened? Brought the curse of God. Didn't he? He was in there, and he was naked. And his son saw him. And he put a curse. Some of them said that was curse was the nigger race. I don't know about that. You can satisfy your own heart. I don't go out and try to straighten people out on their theology. Somebody's got some warped up theology anyhow, if you ask me. And they said said that brought the curse on the world. That's where we got the black man. You can't prove that to me, but the Bible. I've been in school a little bit, read my Bible a little bit. You say, I'd like to debate it with you when you want to do it. Just get ready and let me know. But I'll say this. It caused a curse. Everywhere in the Bible, you find people, God rebuking them for going naked. You'll find his judgment there. Adam and Eve. Noah. And then on down here, I just told you about Joshua and Moses up there. Come down and they were right there dancing around the golden cave. And Aaron tried to justify them. And God sent judgment there. He just killed 3,000, that's all. Pretty good knock. For what? For going naked, you stupid thing. He wants you to know how he feels about it. And I want you to know how I feel about it, too. Sir, you say, preacher, that's old-time preaching. That's what I thrive on, old-time preaching. That's why they want me all over the world. I preach in every country that there is around. And they say, boy, you really lay out sin. That's what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. I hope I can make your sin, I can enlarge it so big, you'll do something about it tonight. Yeah. That's right. Some of you long-haired buzzards, looks like it. Yeah. Yes, you will. Amen. Bible said long hair. Shame for man. That settled it with me. Yeah. And some of you bobbed hair women need to stop cutting your hair so short. Yeah. You say, I don't like you. I don't like you so hot neither. Yeah. I know one lady heard me preaching. They set my chair right out on the platform, and they sat there and looked at me for about 30 minutes before I preached while the singing's going on. And she said, I don't know how he's going to preach. But he said, that's the ugliest preacher I ever seen in my life. That's all right, I don't mind that. That's fine. That's fine. At least everybody knows who you are when you do that. So you see, there's Noah gets drunk, the judgment of God. There's a case of Aaron the Israelite, Moses had sent out, the judgment of God. There's the case of Adam and Eve, the judgment of God. Then over there in Luke 8, you find about a demonic, gathering demonic out there, didn't have no clothes on. Didn't have no clothes on, he was naked. It's like some of y'all run around up here, take off. Did you know one thing? I'm going to tell you something you folks don't know. When I was a young boy, and I'm not a real old man, don't get that in your head neither. But when I was a young lad going uptown, if they caught a woman walking down the street with a pair of shorts on, you know what they done with her? They throwed her in jail.
Amen.
And now the men's picked up. See what you women done? You let them in everything into them. That's right. You ought to get you a gun, learn how to commit suicide too, and get rid of some of these freaks and one thing or another. That's how God feels about it.
Yeah.
I'm just preaching your Bible. That's all I'm doing. Don't get mad at me. Don't cuss me. Cuss yourself. You're the ones that goes around with your shorty short, showing your pretty hairy legs.
Yeah.
Amen and amen.
Yeah.
That's good. Sure it is.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Amen. You say, preacher, I'll see you after service. You'll have to look quick because I'll duck. I'm the best ducker you ever saw. Old hard shell Baptist man come to me, an old elder in the church one time. I was laying out this hyper-Calvinist, and I lay it out everywhere I go. I'm not even a one-point Calvinist. Totally practiced. You're not totally praying. God said he lights up every man comes. Well, what are you going to do that, you hypocrite? Amen, 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 amen. I tell you what you better do. You better just specialize in winning souls and trying to get people under conviction, get them to Jesus Christ. I've been getting along pretty good at that, doing that. Tulip. That's what Brother Rice pushed. I think he done it pretty good. T-U-L-I-P. Total depravity. Unconditional surrender. Some people say, well, when God's time comes, he'll call you and you can't deny. You're full of mud. A lot of them deny it and go to hell. That's what they're doing. And you know they do it and you quit that lying about it.
Amen.
Amen. If I had time tonight, and I know you haven't got time, I got it. I'm going to be up to you. I've been laying down resting. I'd preach to you. Let you learn something about the Bible, amen?
Amen.
Somebody that never heard it preach like that. You never heard nobody preach, probably. You go over and hear some preaching. Come down to my camp meeting and hear something, won't you, brother? Where's that East Dip go to? They'll hear it down there, won't you, boy?
Yes,
amen. Yes, sir. Come on down there. We got a gymnasium. It fills up in the morning service. Back that Brother Jones comes down there. Oh, well, you ought to get together. Somebody's come on down there and get something good. Get some of that North Carolina gospel. Gospel, it'll work the devil out of you. Amen. That's right. So you see, this old demoniac, when the Lord healed him, he said he was naked. Didn't have no clothes on. And what did they do to him? Brother, when he got saved, put some clothes on. And when you get saved, you'll put some on too, you hypocrite. I ain't going to go around my drawers just because you ladies won't see my legs. I ain't going to do it.
Amen.
Thank you much for my testimony, Brother Sonny. Amen. I see some of you got a face look like God had died and heaven had gone bankrupt. Look like you've been pulled off and crab out the time and pickled in vinegar. I never seen such a long-faced crowd in my life.
Good.
Don't bother me.
Preach it.
Amen. Don't bother. Yes, sir.
Amen.
You say, we'll never invite you back. You didn't invite me the first time, Brother Pepper. He stepped, when he asked me again, I might just come again.
Amen.
Said, you'll be too old then, though. No, I ain't. Then Lord done settle it. I'm going to be here when he comes. Or I'm going to live 115 years waiting on him.
Praise
sir, done pick me out a woman I might marry. You can't never tell. What's wrong with that?
Help yourself.
Amen. God, you think I'm going to wash them dishes and clean on the floors and keep it up for the rest of my life? You crazy as the devil. That's what's wrong with you. I told my people the other Sunday, I said, you can take this your batching business and feed the hogs. I said, my wife hadn't been dead for a little over 2 years, but I said, it ain't going to be long till I'm going to get me another.
Amen.
I'm none of looking them over. I ain't found one to have yet. Get them washed all the paint off. Go with them in the room. Let them Tell them not to take off that false leg and pull out that false tooth teeth he's got.
Yeah.
Don't take out that false eyeball and lay it down.
Yeah.
When you go bringing all that out, you wonder what in the world you got. Amen. I know what you got. So you see what I'm talking about. This what I'm trying to hit on the head. Somebody done mad about it. But this nakedness, you preachers, if you've got any guts, you ought to start standing up against that stuff.
Yeah, brother.
I told one of my ushers, yes, Sonny, there. Yesterday, I heard he'd been wearing shorts. He was picking up the money. And I said, son, you know you ain't got no business being ushering my tech. And they done tell me you've been out here wearing these little old shorty britches. He said, you're right, preacher. I said, yes, I'm right. What you going to do right? What you going to do about it? He said, I'm going to quit wearing them. I said, I heard you've been smoking a little. He said, I'm going to quit that too. Didn't he say it, Sonny? Okay, that's what I want to do. That's why I'm saying it. Get somebody to quit that low down. Listen, when you get out here and take off your clothes, you ought to read what the Bible, how he feels about this nakedness.
You're right.
In Noah's day, in the days of Moses, when he killed 3,000 about it. All that, read it all. And then, too, I might move on to this, too, while I'm at it. It ain't going to rain no more. Some of you don't have no prayers answered. You know what it is to have a prayer answered. But you've been somewhere I've been, you wish you could have prayed. See, I've been over on where John got all cut up and beat up over there in New Guinea. I've been right back in them bush. And going back again, he said he's going to go to the swamps this time. And he lives in boathouses and canoes. I'm going over there. I'm going to stay with him a while. So you're too old for that. It's none of your business. I'd rather die fighting than die quitting.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Sure. Good preaching if you are doing, Lucky. That's all right.
Yeah.
Wish you'd confess your stinking sins. That's what I wish you'd do. You say, preacher, I don't hear you no more. Well, I don't even want to see some of you no more.
Yeah.
Let alone hear you. God, you ought to put your clothes on. I've heard so many sitting and puking, regurgitating, vomiting preachers get up and say, well, you ought to not do that, said, just exalt Christ. That isn't what he said. You know what he said, don't you? He said, you dirty bunch of snakes, you vipers. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Right. That's where I got all that up, the Lord. John the Baptist, what did he say? Then you come along and say, well, I don't think that's the way you win. I'd like you to stand up and tell me how many you've won the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I've seen hundreds of people come to Christ.
Yeah.
How many of you have? That ought to tell you something. That ought to tell you something. That's what's the matter now. The world's got us backed off in the corner. We're scared to open our mouth.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. We need some real men, real women to stand up against the devil. Some of you know Irene Black. I buried her husband out in my cemetery. She was in the store up there a few weeks ago. She started witnessing, giving out tracts. And one of those sweet little clerks come up and said, you can't do that in here. She said, how come I can't? And she said, why? It's against the rules. She said, whose rules? She said, well, who told you to give them out? She said, Jesus did.
Yeah.
I said, Jesus told me. You wouldn't do that, would you? No, you ain't gonna do that. You know how to polish it up, make it so everybody can be friends. I want you to know you can't be a friend of this world.
Yes,
he said, if you're a friend of the world, you're my enemy.
Amen.
When I leave here, I'm gonna have some enemies. But I'll tell you what else I'm gonna have. I'm going to have some good friends.
Yes, sir.
And that's who I'm pulling for. That crowd's friendly. I've been threatening my life over and over and over and over until I don't pay much attention to that. My life don't lay in their hands. It lays in God's hands. Yes, sir. So you see, if you confess your sins, it'll start raining at your house. He said, ain't going to rain no more. A lot of you right now, you don't know what it is to get a prayer answered. You don't know what it is to win a soul. Because why? You've got... He said, I've withheld showers of blessing because of your iniquities. You won't confess them. You'll do it tonight. And don't come down here and give me that Catholic dude. Boop, boop, boop. And before the first thing gets done, I mean, before next thing comes, he's done got everything settled with God with a catalog of sin. If I had time tonight, I'd catalog your sin. I just got about 1,000 sins I got wrote down. I'd like to name them to you. See how many of you. You say, I ain't done nothing much. I'd find out how much you've done. Amen, that's right. That's good preaching if I am doing it. That's good preaching if you ain't going to do nothing about you, hypocrite. Old mossy back, old hypocrite. God's got a world full of hypocrites today. Boy, you're getting off easy. If John the Baptist is here, he would tell you something, wouldn't he? He sure would. Now listen to me tonight, friend. If you will confess your sin, get rid of your sin, and stop this playing church, it'll start raining over at your house. And I ain't talking about this kind of rain we got to see. And that woman comes, "I thought you said it wasn't going to rain anymore." I said, "Stupid." I was talking about spiritual blessings. You thought I was talking about literal rain. That's how dumb some people are. But you see, but you won't do it. You'd rather your friends would die and go to hell. You'd rather go into hell, heaven empty-handed, than to get on this altar and mean it and get really right with God and go home and straighten up your home. Brother Green come to hear me preach when I was in Whiffle under a tent down there with Paul Black. I didn't know Brother Green then much, but he come, and Brother Green had a kind of a worldly family. He told me about it. Every one of his boys had a TV in their room. He said, "What's wrong with that? If you don't know what's wrong with them things, you as well leave now. You done got your gourd full. The lowest down thing that's ever come across this earth is your modern TV you got to live in." You say, "When'd you get rid of yours?" "I never did have one." "Never did." You say, "Well, I saw the devil." See, I used to be a movie addict. I'd go to every show there was, and then I went to go see them. But boy, and I saw that, and they began to talk to me, "When you going to get yours?" I said, "I don't see no difference in that thing. Them other things, well, and I still don't see it." You're the reason you don't. You're not spiritual. You're just carnal as the devil. Make out like, "Well, I just turn it on and off." Yeah, I know when you turn it on and off, when you soak that old carnal brain, you're the sinner. And I've been in a lot of homes. I ain't never seen them turning them off. Turn them up a little louder. So you see. But I'm saying this. You can go ahead and have your television. Go ahead and worship the cotton picking thing. Go ahead and suck your cigarettes.
Yeah.
Go ahead and you ladies and wear your britches.
Yeah.
Your pants, whatever you call them.
Yeah.
But I got room left. I got news. It ain't going to rain no more, child.
Yeah.
This ain't going to rain no more.
You ain't preaching.
Yes, sir.
You say, "Preacher, don't you see nothing?" I don't see nothing wrong with it. Lost people don't see nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
But you get saved, stop that playing church, and you'll put your dress on tomorrow.
Yeah.
So kids are saying, "I never did catch my wife in no britches." She's one of the greatest show winners and ever walked the earth down my way. She'd go into the hospital, stirred up, she'd win the doctors and the nurses and everything to the Lord, and she didn't wear no britches. Mm-mm. You could too if you wanted to be a lady.
Yeah.
But preacher, now, I'll be oddball. All right, I'm an oddball. I'm enjoying it. I like it. Amen. Yes, sir. Why don't you make up your mind you're going to be a real soldier for God? And some of you preachers make up your mind you're going to do what God told you to do. He said, "Rebuke before all, that others may fear." I had to rebuke a man in my church the other day. He had a habit of going around with the girls and helping them, but he'd finally rest. And I found it out. I funneled his breath.
Yeah,
didn't I do it, sonny? I said, "Now get up there and tell him what you've been doing."
Yeah, brother.
And he tried to gloss it over. I said, "I won't tell you what he's trying to tell you. He's been trying to tell you that he's been a fool with them little girls he works with. Now I'm telling you the straight about it. I'm telling you straight about it." That's where some of you are, covering your sin.
Yeah,
covering your sin. You know, I'll tell you nothing. It won't help you a bit, make you no better or worse, if you try to show your independence and get up and walk out. Honey, you ain't got no virgin. I have a dozen or two walk out of me about every time I preach.
Yeah.
But thank God I have a dozen or two saved, too.
Yeah.
That's what counts. Amen?
Amen?
That's what counts. Now listen to me. If you want God's showers of blessings to come upon you, and they will, He promises you some mighty good things in the Bible. One thing he promised, he said, "I'll make your bed in your sickness." See, a little while back, my wife was upstairs dying with a cancer in the hospital. I was downstairs, supposed to have been dying with a stroke, and laying down there, and God made up my bed. I said, "Lord, I'm going to have to call on you a little bit here. I've got trouble." And when they took me home that night, the doctor told me, said, "You can't go home." He said, you've got a, I don't know what he called, something going toward my heart. So if it goes to the right, it'll go to your heart. If it goes to your left, it'll go to your brain, and you'll be an invalid. You know what it is, some of you folks. I got a brother, a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not that kind of a doctor. He's a chiropractor. But he don't do me no good. I said, boy, I jerked you hard on that. We was growing up. But he done a pretty good job with it. But anyhow, when I was in the hospital, the Lord made my bed. I told that man, I said, now if you want to operate on me, I'll come back. Now if you think I'm lying, I brought a witness with me, Sonny there. He sticks closer to me, my skin does. He's right with me all the time. He's my boy. See, him and me and my wife found him and his sister, Linda, over in the field fighting bumblebees. And we got to fighting bumblebees with them. And as a result of fighting them bumblebees, we got them to church. As a result of that, they got saved.
Great.
And some said, oh, that won't last. It's lasting pretty good. How long has yours been lasting, Sonny? How long has yours been lasting?
35 years.
Pretty good. Pretty good, eh? Ask Linda how long hers been lasting. She got saved same time. About it. Amen, amen, amen. I'll tell you, we need to win somebody to God so they'll be saved and do something when they get out here. We won't have to go back to the world and drag them back. You see, get them back. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to hurry to a close. I just got the introductory to this message. And my time's all gone, but I do want to tell you one more case of this nakedness. The case of our blessed Savior. You ever think about that? Some of you that put on your shorty shorts and your shorts and show your legs and your belly, you've got plenty of belly to show some of you women, I promise you that. You look like you swallowed some pumpkin seeds or something to me. And you're not pregnant neither. You just eat too many hamburgers. But anyhow, let me say this. My Lord and Savior, they hung him on the cross. And you know what they done to him? They parted his garments. They put him to shame. You read your Old Testament and see how much it talked about. We sang about it, don't we? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. You know what was that away? He was hanging up there naked. Naked to the world. But he done it to keep you and I out of hell. And the way you show your appreciation, you put your name on the Sunday school roll, and then out you get out and undress yourself and parade up and down the street. You just don't know how wicked you are. You know how, if you'd sit around and hear some real preaching once in a while, instead of these here compromising, pussyfooting preachers that's always patching it up for you, won't tell it like it is, you might amount to something yet. You might could. We hope you would. But anyhow, the Savior, he showed us an example of shame. They stripped him, took him in his garments, and he hung up there and died for you and me. I didn't have no other reason but to wear my clothes and not put on what some of you are wearing when you get out of here. That'd be enough for me. My Savior suffered shame and reproach for me. And so I say to you tonight, I wished I had time to preach a long time, but you couldn't take it no how. You probably done fed up now and done punching the old man, let's get out of here. I want to go home and get some rest. Well, God bless your old heart. You ought to go get some rest, because where are you going? You ain't going to get none.
Yeah.
That's right. You ain't going to get none there. All right. Now, I know, but I don't want to be a hog. I've heard, you know, they say, well, that he hogged it all. Well, I'm a pretty good hog. You've seen me eating them hamburgers since I've been up here. I begin to think y'all didn't have nothing in Ohio but hamburgers. Just anyway. Sonny, I said, I'm hungry. Sonny said, I'll go get you another hamburger. Well, anyhow, he made my bed in my sickness. I was real bad. And I told her, the doctor said, I'm putting you upstairs in the bed. I said, my wife's already laying up there dying. I can't go up there. I got to go home, make some arrangements. Then I'll come back and do what you want to. He said, you can't do that. I said, I can't. I said, you watch me. And I left. And I lived. I come back in 2 weeks. I said, all right, do your stuff, Doc. Go ahead and start cutting whatever you want to do. That's when he took that plug out. He said, if you'd have waited 2 more weeks, you'd have been a dead man. I don't know if he was right about that or not. He don't hold a life in his hand, no I am. I don't have much. See, I got a brother's doctor. I don't have much confidence in doctors as some of you folks have. Now, I know some of you might be a doctor, but I say if you're not trying to win souls and doing something kind of being a blessing to humanity, you're just helping the communists out.
Yeah,
that's fun. I don't even much believe that. I don't even advocate my people be a nurse. They think that's the grandest thing. So-and-so's going to be a nurse. Well, if you're going to be a soul winner and you get to be a nurse so you can contact these people, I'll help you go through the school today. But if you're just going to name, I'm a nurse. You're a social worker. You're a communist. That's what you are. You're a communist. You don't like it. Lump it, bless God's soul. You ought to take that advantage you got and try to win them to God.
Amen.
My wife won doctors and lawyers and nurses. The head doctor down in Winston-Salem, the Baptist Hospital, he's over a whole bunch of doctors. He's a big wheel. And she witnessed to him. And she said, "Sir, are you saved? Are you a Christian?" He said, "Yes, Miss Lackey, but said, I ain't got it like you have." When I got a letter I got two letters. He wrote a letter and said, "Your wife showed forth the greatest faith of any person that had been in this hospital." And he brought his children over there, wanted to meet her. I mean, he's the big doctor. And so he got me in the hospital, and the Lord seen me through. And when I went back home, I never will forget it. Kind of gloomy, bless God, and your wife's a dying, you a dying, and you haven't got no children. Your kinfolks done got mad at you because you witnessed to them. They took me in the house and laid me down on the couch. I got laying there, and I thought everybody was gone. And I was laying there, I said, "Now you're in a nice mess. Your wife's a dying hospital. You're about dead. Here you are laying here. Now what you going to do?" About that time, I thought I seen a movement. And I thought there's a ghost in the house. I looked down at the foot of the couch. Looked like a bear. But one of my men, Phil Tilly, he was laying down there. I said, "What are you doing in here?" He said, "Preacher, you think I could go home and go to my bed and rest, knowing you're up here by yourself, nobody look at you, and your wife dying down yonder?" He said, "Not me." I said, "Well, go back there and get in the other bed. There's plenty of room." He said, "I'm going to leave right here." He said, "You might need me." Isn't it good to have friends like that? God's given me some friends like that. You take Sonny here. He looks at me like I was his little orphan child. He takes care of me. If you don't believe he'll take care of me, you think old John Gray popped the fellow on the jaw. You come up and fool with me, and he's around. You popped you on the jaw. All right, I'm going to quit in a minute. Just bear with me, because I don't want to. Then when I was in the hospital, I told him to go ahead and operate. Then another thing, the shower's a blessing. He'll make your bed in your sickness. I said, "Lord, you have to take this thing over and look after it, because I'm in a mess." And he looked at me. When he carried me home in that old gloomy house of mine, you believe this or not, I never asked nobody to bring me nothing. And nobody didn't discuss it. You bring a meal today, and I'll bring a meal tomorrow. Nothing like that. But every day, food was put on my table. You can't swallow that, can you? But it happened just the same. God take care of you in your sickness. He'll make your bed in your sickness. I'd rather have the Lord for my nurse than anybody else that you know of. And then he'll not only do that, but he'll help you when you're dying. That's when you need him. When that old death comes around to your door and starts knocking on it. My wife had that cancer 14 years. And we'd pray her out. I guess that's what done it. We'd pray her out. And then something happened, she'd go back. Last time I went, this last doctor, I told him not to cut her no more. He didn't cut her. I don't know how many times. But I told him, I said, "Now, if you want her, she's yours. Lord, you take her. But I got one thing I can demand of you. Don't let her suffer. She's one soul. She's been stayed here and looked at this church when I was out there trying to help other churches. You've got to not let her suffer." And God, I got people here tonight, as far as I know, my wife, I mean with a cancer that took her out, never did suffer one day. I know one morning, my bedroom's on back down the hall, and I had her hospital bed up in the hall. I was down there in the bedroom, and my wife never was one much to sing in the house. Now, she could sing. She'd sing with me at the church. But she worked quiet. You never know. A lot of times I'd say, "Where are you at?" And brother, she was down there in the house. And I looked up the hall, and I heard the office door just about the crack of day. And I heard my wife's voice singing, "There shall be showers of blessing. Rain them us upon us." She got about half through and stopped and said, "Well, glory to God." That got me out of bed. I went up in the room and I said, "What in the world is going on in here?" She said, "Don't you know what's going on?" She said, "Bring me the biggest egg in North Carolina. I'm hungry." But she said, "I want you to do something." I said, "What is it?" "I got a tapestry wall. I love horses. In fact, I've got it down at my camp. If you come down it, we'll take you ride two white steeds 1,500 pound apiece. We'll take you a real ride if you want to. And so I was there, telling the people how good God had been and all that. And my wife was laying there, and she said, "Preacher, look over there on that wall where I had my horses and the tapestry." And I looked, and I didn't see anything on you. She said, "Don't you see that, preacher?" I said, "No, I don't see that." She said, "Look at the angels over there lined up. Don't you see them?" I said, "No, honey, I don't see them, but I bet you do." She said, "We ought to." I said, "There they are." And just hours later, I held her hand after living with her over 50 years. She never spoke an ill word to me. And I know you think I'm lying, but I don't care what you think. You think what you want to. I could turn that around. It wouldn't be so. But she's never scolded me in her life. She never did rebuke me. Betty there has been my secretary near 25 years. She'll tell you my wife was a wife. I believe before God, I could have took my hand and slapped her in the floor. I believe she'd have got up and hugged me next. "I love you, preacher. I love you." I didn't do it, but I believe I could have. But you know what happens in these hours? Them showers of blessing, they come down. Thank God, you ought to get yourself in line for them tonight. These sins, I might not have named your sin, but I could do it if I had time. I could name you about 500 sins that some of you committed last week and you ain't thought a thing about it. That's right. You ought to do something about it tonight. You ought to come down here to this altar and say, "Lord, my life is going to be..." Wouldn't you like to be a soul winner? Wouldn't you like to take somebody to that beautiful place called heaven? I want to get as many in there as I can. Some of you never thought about that home, have you? You ever study about heaven? You ought to get Wilbur Smith's book. Had this engineer in Australia to get them dimensions on heaven and everything. Heaven is 1,188,000 square. Pretty good sized little city, isn't it? Bigger than Zenith up there, isn't it? Huh? All right. It's 528,000 stories high, so this engineer says. 15 foot in between. Pretty good size, ain't it? And every floor has 2 million square miles. Pretty good little size. You mean to tell me you're going to miss all that for a pair of shorts? Huh? You haven't got good sense. You need to have your head examined. Don't go down there and say what's wrong. Ask them if you've got any brains up there. A fella come to me one time and all disgusted. He kind of backslid and got drunk and had him in court. He had to go to court on Monday. He said, "I ain't going." Come on, saw me. He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to go home and take my pistol. I'm going to blow my brains out." I said, "You ain't going to blow no brains out. If you had any brains, you wouldn't talk like all. You're going to do blow a hole in your head." Amen? Sure. Ever, you know, this engineer that figured this out says there's been 30 billion people that's lived on this, in this earth space since time began. 30 billion people. That's a lot of people. And he said if every one of them was saved, which they weren't, you know it and I know it. And he said when they got to heaven, every one of them would have 39 miles elbow room. Pretty good size plate. Huh? And you're going to miss that, are you? Just because you want to suck your cigarettes. Just because you want to wear your long hair.